on a day that we commemorate destruction, we sit together and we talk about how to rebuild. In every walk of life, in every field of life, we naturally look for ways to measure success. We develop benchmarks that help us feel accomplished and purposeful in what we do. For each person, it's something else. For a person who's doing sales, the number of orders that he's closed, the size of the contracts, sales volume. For a teacher, it's the progress of their students, the engagement in the classroom, the success of their alumni. For doctors, the amount of patients that they've healed, procedures they performed and were successful. For business owners, it's about the profit. Doesn't really matter how much you sell. It's about how much money you made. For a truck driver, it's the amount of miles driven, on-time deliveries. Of course, people who measure their success with misguided yardsticks are bound to fail. A salesman who's proud of how many phone calls he makes every single day. A doctor who's proud of how many patients he sees a day is measuring their success in a superficial and secondary factor. We, Am Yisrael, what unites us all, the reason why we're all here, what we are most proud of is to be part of this great nation called the Jewish people. It is quite important, like every single occupation, to understand what is the essence and what makes us a success. If someone would stop us and says, "Hey, I heard you're a Jew. Could you tell me what is the essence of your people? What does it mean? What are you all about?" What would you answer? Would you say that our essence is the mitzvot that we do? Or the charity that we give? Or the kindness that we're involved in? Would you talk about how many times a day we pray with the minyan? Would you mention the chapters of Tehillim that you're saying every single day? Would you talk about your Torah learning, your consistency, your depth, your commitment? Would you talk about character refinement? Would you talk about raising a Jewish family with Jewish values? Would you speak about the mitzvah of honoring your parents? Would you talk about making a Kiddush Hashem? Would you talk about living with bitachon? Would you talk about living a life of mesirut nefesh, of self-sacrifice? Each of these and many more are certainly important roles in what makes a Jew. But are they the ultimate measure of success? We must ask ourselves, what is the purpose behind them all? What are we aiming to reach with all of our observance? Everybody listening here is involved with all the things I mentioned and more. But what defines us? What is it that we're trying to achieve with all of these things that we are involved in? Who here doesn't say Tehillim? Who here doesn't pray? Who here doesn't give charity? Who here doesn't honor their parents? Who here doesn't sacrifice? Who here doesn't strive to live with bitachon? None of the things I mentioned are foreign to any of us. But what is it all about? What is it supposed to lead to? We have to go to Bereshit, to the beginning. When the Torah tells us in Parashat Yitro, it tells us right before Matan Torah, Hashem says what He is trying to achieve with our people. He tells us, Ve'atem tihiyu li mamlechet kohanim ve'goy kadosh, that you will be, this nation will be mamlechet kohanim, you'll be ministers, ve'goy kadosh, you're going to be a nation of holiness. That is the purpose of our existence. To be a holy nation, a goy kadosh, as it says again in Parashat Va'etchanan, that we'll be reading this coming week. Ki am kadosh ata, l'Adonai Elohecha. You are a nation of holiness. Holiness and the Jewish people isn't automatic. As the Pasuk says, Kedoshim tihiyu. Not Kedoshim heyu. Not be holy. Kedoshim tihiyu. You are holy. It's your essence. When a Jew is born, he is already holy. And his mission in life is to take that holiness and raise it one act at a time. That is why every time we do a mitzvah, we say, Asher kideshanu b'mitzvotav. We say, Hashem, you gave us the mitzvot in order to sanctify us. The mitzvot bring us to a higher level of kedusha. That is our life mission. A Jew at birth is a Jew that's kadosh. One should not think that only through mitzvot and only through Torah that a Jew has kedusha. The essence of our people is kedusha. We find in Masechet Mo'ed Katan, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that someone who stands next to a Jew who is about to leave this world as his neshama leaves, hayav likroa, he's obligated to rip his clothing. And says the Gemara, lemaze domeh, why am I ripping to someone I don't even know? He's not my father, not my brother. I'm not related to them. Why am I ripping my clothing? says the Gemara, because this is like a Sefer Torah Shen Nisraf. It's like Lo Alenu, a Sefer Torah that's burnt. If a Sefer Torah burns, a person has to rip. A Jew that leaves the world has the Kiddushah of a Sefer Torah. And therefore, any person who's witness to that moment has to rip. Halakha lemaaseh. If Lo Alenu, a Sefer Torah is burning, or a Jew is in danger, what should one do? If he could only save one, do you let the Holy Torah burn? Or do you save the Yehudi? The halakha, of course, as you know, is you let the Sefer Torah burn and you save the Holy Jew. This plays a role in Shabbat as well. We know that for Shabbat, we desecrate the Shabbat for a Jew in danger. A person who might, maybe, lose his life. We go and we save him. We drive, we do whatever we have to do. But if a Sefer Torah is burning on Shabbat, Lo Alenu, the most we could do is hint to a goy to put out the fire. Each and every one of us must value our Kiddushah and realize that this is our mission in life. Everything we do is to elevate the Kiddushah of ourselves, our families, and our community. Yes, we do mitzvot. Yes, we learn Torah. Yes, we do chesed. Yes, we read Tehillim. Yes, we raise families. But our mission is Kiddushah, Ki Am Kadosh Ata. That is what we're here to elevate. And that is why the Pasuk warns us in Parashat Ki Tetze, Ki Adonai Elohecha Mithalech Bekerev Mahanecha. What a guarantee, what an unbelievable message from the Creator Himself. I am sure many people would love to have this in their daily lives, moment after moment. Ki Hashem Elohecha Mithalech Bekerev Mahanecha. Hashem is constantly in our midst. Lehatzilecha, He's there to save us from danger. He's there to save us from disease. He's there to save us from any negativity that can come to a person in this world. Velatet oyevecha lefanecha. Hashem is in our midst, so that He could hand our enemies in our hands, whether they're physical, whether they're spiritual. This is the Birkat Kohanim that we get blessed with every single day. The Kohanim raise their hands and they bless the Jewish people in the name of God. Yevarechcha Hashem veYishmerecha. Hashem will bless you. Hashem will watch over you. Who doesn't need beracha? Who doesn't need shmirah? Which age? Which marriage? Which relationship? Which child? Which home, which synagogue, which yeshiva, Who doesn't need? Yevarecha Hashem veYishmerecha. Life is so sensitive. Anything can happen to anyone at any moment. Who doesn't need protection? Who doesn't need the Creator walking in his midst? Who has a history like Am Yisrael from Mitzrayim till today? That time and time again we see the Creator walking in our midst. Things that are incomprehensible to the world and sometimes to ourselves. We're a nation of miracles. Daily our existence is miraculous on so many levels. Whether it's the protection, whether it's the blessings. Hashem says that when I am with you, you will have that beracha and you will have that shmira. But warns the pasuk, Ve'aya machanecha kadosh. Hashem says, I am committed to this relationship. I am committed to be there with you. Like he told us by Matan Torah, you saw, atem re'item, you saw, asher asiti le'mitzrayim, you saw what I did to the Egyptians for you. Va'esa etchem al kanfe nesharim, I carried you on the wings of eagles, higher than any bird, protected, flying high. This is not just in Egypt. It's been throughout our history. Hashem promises our people full protection and blessings. But Hashem says, there's the condition. Ve'aya machanecha kadosh. So long as your camp has holiness, so long as your home is kadosh, so long as your relationships are kadosh, so long as you're kadosh. We think the word kadosh applies to people somewhere in Yerushalayim, people in Bnei Brak, people with very long beards, people who sit and learn Torah day and night. Of course they're kadosh. But kadosh describes every single person here. It's the essence of who we are. We can't even get the first base without the word kadosh. Hashem says, I am committed to you and to your families and to your children. But your camp has to be kadosh. And in case someone might not realize what exactly does that mean. I don't know, am I kadosh? Is my home kadosh? How do I measure that? Every time I do a mitzvah, it brings kiddusha. So yes, I am kadosh. I'm reading Tehillim every day. Am I not kadosh? I'm praying, I'm learning. Of course I'm kadosh. How many times a day do you say, Asher kiddeshanu b'mitzvotam? Who can't answer this question? Who would say, I don't know what you're talking about? But the pasuk is very, very, very clear. That when Hashem says, I'm warning you, there's one thing that will not allow me to stay in your midst. I am allergic to this. that no matter how much kedusha you're infusing in your life, but if you're missing this, I cannot stay with you. Ve'lo yir'eh becha ervat davar. Hashem says, immorality in your midst is the equal of asking me to leave. A life of indecency. Ervat davar. Hashem says, Veshav me'acharecha. Hashem says, I must walk out of your life. I must leave your presence. And then you're like everybody else. The protection, the promise, the Yevarecha Hashem ve'yishmerecha. I can't be with you. Even if you're doing all the things to raise your holiness, but you made a big hole on the bottom that takes your kiddusha and just sucks it out. When we do mitzvot, we're elevating our kiddusha, which is our purpose in this world. But when there's ervat davar, when there's immorality, when there's a life of indecency, that takes the kedusha and runs away with it. If you open up the Rambam in his famous work, Yad HaHazakah, the Mishneh Torah, where he writes all the halachot, every single one, the ones that are relevant and not relevant, the building of the Beit HaMikdash, all the halachot are there, 14 volumes. In each volume he has different sections that he divided them in. For example, when he talks about Zimanim, he talks about the times of year. Over there you'll find Hilchot Shabbat, Hilchot Yom Tov. He has 14 sections. One of the sections, the fifth one, he calls it the section of Kedusha. If you look at the Rambam's books, you'll find one of them is called Kedusha. Says the Rambam, what are the subjects in this section called Kedusha? What am I talking about when I tell you we're going to talk about Kedusha, holiness? Again, we would say everything is holiness. Says the Rambam, in this section I'm going to talk about two specific subjects that make our people kadosh. And that is arayot, discussions of immorality, immoral relationships, immoral actions, immoral behaviors, immoral dress. Ma'achalot asurot and kashrut. We open up Sefer Vayikra, and Hashem warns us about our land and our country. He says, "Ve'lo taki ha'aretz etchem betama'achem ota." Hashem warns us in Eretz Yisrael, this holy, great country that Hashem gave us, Every Jew has a love for Eretz Yisrael. It's part of our essence. It's who we are. Hashem says, be careful that this country doesn't vomit you. Lo taki ha'aretz etchem. The land of Israel can vomit a nation. Ka'asher ka'at ha'goy asher lifnechem. The same way it went and vomited the nation that were there before you. When did the land of Israel get rid of a people that are in it? Says the Pasuk, betama'achem ota. Says the Ramban, that this Pasuk is talking about arayot. Again, immorality. The land of Israel is a holy land. The holy land can only take so much immorality before it throws out the people that are in it. If this sounds like a major hidush to anybody here, it's important to know that when Balak, the king of Moab, tried to annihilate our people and hired Bil'am and gave him anything and everything he would want to curse our people, and Bil'am each time, instead of cursing, blessed our people. Some of the most magnificent berachot came out of Bil'am's mouth. And the Pasuk says at the end of the day, Balak tells Bil'am, what did you do to me? I hired you to curse these people. All you do is bless them. Bil'am tells him, what should I do if their God doesn't allow me to do it? I told you, I cannot go against them. He says, Ve'ata, but my dear friend Balak, and now that you're stuck in this position, you want to wipe them out, but I can't help you. Hineni holech le'ami, I'm going back home. Lecha i'asecha, let me give you advice. You want to destroy the Jewish people? I will tell you how to do it. You don't need me. You don't need major tanks. You don't need warfare. You want to wipe out these people? Says Bil'am the Goy. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses what he told them. He told them, Elohehem shel elu. He said, the God that protects these people, that you will never be able to touch them. They're untouchable. Sone zimahu. There's one thing that he hates. He's allergic to it. And that is immorality. If you can find a way to entice them, build a market, sell good that they are interested in, find different types of ladies that will go and sell the product to them and eventually sell themselves. If you can get them to sin, if you can get them to the place of immorality, then they will be yours, because their God will no longer be there to protect them. He will check out. Which is unfortunately what happened. So many good Yehudim today don't know. Even a goy understood. And my dear friends, we're talking about a very difficult subject. So difficult is this subject that most rabbis don't talk about it. It's not because they're scared to talk about it. I hope that's not why. But it's so sensitive. It goes to the core of what the person is, of how they look, of how they interact. When you talk about one mitzvah, say you talk about one item out of hundreds. But when you talk about this subject, you're talking about the core of the person. So it's hard to give over the message because you're afraid that people will not understand. But on the day of Tisha B'Av, when we're supposed to be rebuilding from the destruction, we have to be up and aware. We have to educate ourselves. We have to make ourselves realize what's really valuable. The Yetzer Hara is a way of putting people to sleep. And when a Jew sleeps, it doesn't mean he's sleeping in his bed, but it could be he's sleeping and doing good things. He's helping people. He's praying in shul. He's doing many beautiful things. But something so critical as the essence of the person, he puts him to sleep, thinking that this is not such an important item. How many people do we know? How many of us are so careful in so many mitzvot? But when it comes to this area, there seems to be a lack of sensitivity. One of the reasons is that we're living in galut. We're living in exile. All we have to do is open the door to the street. And we see a street full of immorality. The way people talk, the way people dress, the way people socialize, the way people spend their time. It's right there in the street. We grew up in these streets, and it becomes the norm. And that's why when someone comes to talk about the subject, they say, where did he learn from? If this subject wasn't so critical to our blessings and our future and our protection, then we wouldn't talk about it. But we must talk about it. And despite our failures in this subject, who can say they're doing great in this subject? Who can say they're hitting 100% in this subject? We must realize that not elevating ourselves in this area is sucking out our blessings and so much more. Yes, it's a difficult task. We live in a world that is the opposite of Kiddusha. I want to be clear of what I'm talking about, so there's no mistakes. This subject is for all people. It's for men, it's for women, it's for young boys, for young girls. It's for everybody. It's for the more religious, for the less religious. Everyone's got to be on guard for a life of Kiddusha. When it comes to men, Torah warns us, Lo taturu ahare lebavchem ve'ahare einechem. Every day we say this three times at least. Be careful with your eyes. Be careful what you're looking at. Your eyes aren't cameras. Your eyes are the windows of your soul. the wrong picture, the wrong look can be destructive to your Kiddusha. Anybody who has improved in their Shmirat Enayim knows the difference between the time when they watched their eyes and the time they didn't. Surrounding ourselves with the right people. Making sure we're not in a place where people are not dressed decently. It hurts our Kedusha. Forget their Kedusha. It's a serious matter when a man doesn't watch his eyes. It's a real issue. They could be doing so many beautiful things every day, but Hashem is not with them. What happened? Where are you? Kedusha. It's a tough battle, but we got to work on it. It's got to be something we're working on. It's not an easy world. But we can't ignore it either. For a man, it means being careful who they're alone with in the office, on a business trip, traveling all together. The business for a man needs to be handled properly. I know some men that will not travel without their wife. For some, that may be too difficult. For some, they will never leave more than one night. Whatever the considerations are, it's got to be a consideration. It's not a free-for-all. Social events, flirting with people. That's a big deal. Having the wrong conversations, making the wrong comments. That's all part of Kiddusha. How about content that make the mind constantly in a world of tum'ah? Content like social media. It's not okay to watch what other people are doing in general, but it makes it very not okay if they're doing things that aren't so appropriate. Magazines, novels. For women, obviously, a woman has a very big part in the Kiddusha of a home. A woman who has Kiddusha is protecting her husband, is protecting her children, is bringing beracha to her family. It's a big deal. It's a very big deal. Tzniut, modesty in dress is a big deal. Yes, it's a challenge. Yes, it's not what the street is. Yes, it may not be what we were used to. But the world is changing. The Jewish world is changing. People are upgrading. People are going to their closets and ripping out the things that are bringing a lack of blessing to their homes. They're ripping things out of their home to invite the Creator back into it. People are doing it. It's not something from a different world. It's not a story from Halab. You're talking now, today, in our world. They are great holy women. Our women, you should know. I can't speak for every single person, but I know my community. In our community, our women are holy. No question about it. The ones who are praying Tehillim more than anyone else is the women. The one who's praying for their family and their children are the women. The ones who are worried about our children and their future are the women. The ones making our Shabbats and our Shabbat table and all that comes out of it are the women. It's only in ignorance that a woman may not realize how critical modesty is. Nothing more than that. Yes, they heard about modesty. Not ignorance like that. But I'm not sure if they realize how critical it is. It's not just another box. It's the box. It's got everything in it. Who wouldn't want the Creator to be in their home 24/7? Ignorance means you don't realize how critical something is. Besides dress, there's boundaries, emotional boundaries, how to speak to another man. Modesty in speech, how you talk, with the words that come out of your mouth, even with women. What are we talking about? What's the discussion? That's all under Kiddushah. Men have the same issue. Of course, for children, if one thing could change, if one thing could save the Jewish home, it's the future of the home. What I mean is, it could be that an older person is such a creature of habit that they can't find a way to change themselves. They talk the way they talk, they dress the way they dress, they do what they do. But there's one area that can bring hope to this home. It's the pure boys and girls. The little children that are being raised with holiness. Little girls from young. Yes, maybe it was hard for you, but for your little daughter to grow up in a world of Kiddushah, to send her out of the house and say, Hashem is with you. Not Hashem, may he be with you. Hashem is with you. It's a very big difference. Not a blessing, it's a reality. When a young lady looks like a Jewish young lady, she has the berakah with her. And so too the young men. So many young people today. Are drowning. In the world of social media and internet and all that comes with it, they are connected to a life of sheker, a life of falsehood, a life of shakranim, a life of people whose essence is falsehood, following people who are immoral. Looking up to people who are from the lowest of the low within a moment's access and bringing it to our community and bringing it to their home. Which responsible parent would want their little children with items that make them connected to such people? A mother works so hard. She does so much for her children. Day and night she's giving and giving, that one day they should be beautiful, young Jewish ladies, young beautiful men they could be proud of. Do you ever look at a mother or father when someone tells them how their son or daughter is such a refined, beautiful person? I saw your son in shul the other day. I saw the way he was praying. I saw the way he was acting next to his friend. You have no idea what he looked like. Take a look, a snapshot at the mother's face. The nahat, the pleasure that a mother gets when she sees her children are beautiful, are pure, are holy. There's no greater pleasure in the world. You can't find that pleasure in Europe. You can't find that pleasure across the world. You can't find it in South America. You won't find it in the Caribbean. The greatest pleasure that a woman has in this world is nahat, is the pleasure of her holy children. There's nothing like it. That could save the home. Hashem at least sees we're making an effort. Maybe it's hard for me. Maybe I'm over the hill. That's what I think at least. But it's important to me. My children, they're going to be kadosh. My children are going to live a life of kiddushah. I'm going to make sure to separate them from mingling with the other side. Make sure boys and girls are separated. I'm going to make sure that my daughter is dressed in the most refined, regal way. I'm going to make sure that my son has a mind that's pure, surrounded with purity. I'm not just going to take him just to shul. My home is going to be a shul. My home is going to be a makom kadosh. You know, it used to be, people thought that religion is in the temple. Religion is in the Bet Knesset. You come home, you take off your kippah, and now you're back to becoming a regular person. You go to shul, that's the spot where you become holy. Outside, you know, your business, outside, you're in your house, that's not the way it works. A mother once asked me, what's the right age to send boys to shul? How old do you push them out to go to shul? I know this woman. This special woman, like many special women in our community. Many. You have no idea how many holy, righteous women we have in this community. Our community today has grown because of them. I told her, the longer your son could stay home with you, the more holiness he's going to have in his life. As much as you can, that he should stay in your presence, he will become holier. The Bet Knesset might be a downgrade man. Such a woman, the regal dress, the tefillah, her tefillah, just watching her tefillah for 20 minutes, that's worth everything. Watching her character, watching her Yirat Shamayim. You don't need to go to shul. I wish that every home should be that way. That the kedusha of the home is greater than anything else outside.
Beshachanti betocham, Hashem says. Ve'asuli mikdash.
Just make your house holy. I will come. If not an all or nothing proposition, the goal is all. But let me tell you something. A person who comes out of today and says, I'm going to do something for Kiddushah in my life. Hashem, I don't know how I'm going to get to the end goal because I see it's very far from me, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to change something with the hope that it will take me to where it needs to get. A husband praying for his family, a mother praying for herself and her family. It could do so much. It could bring such beracha. When Hashem is in our midst, it means health. It means children. It means parnasah. It means all the things that make us successful people in this world. Gemara says that David HaMelech told Shaul when he caught him in the cave, Shaul was trying to kill David. He told him, you know, really, I'm supposed to kill you because you're Odet, you're trying to kill me. He says to him, but you know, something protected you. Shaul, even though you're supposed to get killed, Hashem says, I can kill you. But the tzniut that you have, Shaul, a melech, a man, he had tzniut. Gemara says, because when he went to the bathroom, he was very careful how he went in a certain place, in a certain way. Tzniut protected him from what even the Torah condemns as hayav mita. Imagine the protection. B'schar nashim satkaniyot, our redemption, the people, Am Yisrael, our people, were redeemed because of the great woman, the righteous woman, woman of Kiddushah. I will end with a Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah. The Mishnah over there is talking about the celebration that went on in the Beit HaMikdash during the days of Sukkot. Simchat Beit HaShoeva. And today we try to celebrate, but really the big celebration was in the Beit HaMikdash. Just imagine the scene, millions of people in the Beit HaMikdash rejoicing, dancing. Says the Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah, B'motza'ei Yom Tov HaRishon, once the first day of Sukkot was over, at night, Yardu le'ezrat nashim, they went down to the women's section, the ladies section in the Beit HaMikdash. Listen to these words. Umtakenin sham tikun gadol. They made a very great tikun. The word tikun means they fixed something, but a very big tikun they made. What they make? Something say. What they do over there? Kikun gadol. What they do? Gemara says they made sure to make partitions that would clearly separate the men from the women. Time of rejoicing, time of dancing. I'm sure everybody was dressed beautifully. But even so, there need to be a separation, because it's the makom of Kiddushah. It's a place of holiness. Let me tell you a chidush about Kiddushah. Rashi called us, kol makom she'ata motze geder erva. Any place you see someone making some sort of boundary for Kiddushah, they make an extra partition, they make sure people are separated, they make sure. Anytime you see someone make a partition, a boundary, you'll find Kiddushah there. That's a very big Hiddush. Let me explain to you why. Usually, Kiddushah comes when we do something. Notice, we don't make berachot on mitzvot lo ta'aseh. For example, if a person walks by a store, it's not kosher food, and decides, I'm not going to buy it. I'm not eating that. He doesn't say beracha, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotah b'tzivanu lo le'echol ma'achalot asuros. No such beracha. We don't make berachot on lo ta'aseh. We make berachot when we do something. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotah b'tzivanu to eat matzah, to put on tefillin, Put on tzitzit. We only make berachot of kedusha when we do something. But lo ta'aseh, we don't make berachot. Because in general, if you don't do something wrong, you don't add kedusha. You just don't go down, but you don't add kedusha. If I don't eat not kosher, it's not adding kedusha. It's just staying as is. It's a beautiful thing, but there's no extra kedusha. But in one area, only in one lo ta'aseh, by not doing something, you add kedusha. That's when you make boundaries of arayot. You know what the proof to that is? The next wedding you go to, the Ezrat Hashem will have many weddings. All of you and your children and grandchildren should see them happy and building. Notice the first beracha under the chuppah. Asher kideshanu b'mitzvotav. Hashem sanctified us with his mitzvot. Vetzivanu, and he commanded us al ha'arayot to stay away from immorality. Stay away from immorality. That's the lo ta'aseh. Where's kideshanu b'mitzvotav? No. When it comes to kedusha, even when someone isn't doing actively, it bringing kedusha. By not wearing that, kedusha. By not going there, kedusha. By not saying that, kedusha. By making a mehita, kedusha. You're bringing kedusha into a place by not doing anything, just by separating things that need to be separated. And that is why it's called tikkun gadol, because they brought kedusha into the Bet HaMikdash. And that's why in our prayers in Musaf we say, Bnei betecha kebatechila, Hashem, please build the Bet HaMikdash like we had it before. Harenu vebinyano, we want to see the binyan Bet HaMikdash, like the rabbi said before. Vesamehenu vetikunom, and Hashem, make us happy with the tikkun. What we said, we're going to see the binyan. We saw the building. What does it mean? Make us happy in the tikkun. It means when we see the tikkun of kedusha, it brings us simha. She'as simha bim'ono, one of the berachot that we make in the Sheva berachot. Some say, if there isn't siniut over there, you can't make that beracha. Because Hashem has no simha in such a place. Kedusha is our essence. It's the essence of a Yehudi. Someone asks you in the street, so tell me, what are you all about? What is this Jewish thing all about? What are you? You tell them, we are. We're an Am that's striving to be Kadosh. Maybe I'm not there yet, but that's my goal. It's the goal for me and my family to be Kadosh. And what does it mean to be Kadosh? It means to be careful in the areas that we spoke about today. And what happens, he says to you, when you're Kadosh? What happens? What happens? Unbelievable. Hashem is with us. He promises us. He's with us to protect us and to bless us. What an unbelievable promise. Who needs more strength than that? That God Himself is going to be with you and bless you and protect you. The more kiddusha we add, the more Hashem we have, and the more simha we bring. Like the great Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, HaKehusha, he simha. You want simha? You know where you get it from? You got to go talk to people to get simha? No. You need pills for simha? No. You need drinks there? No! You don't need drugs for simha! You don't need to gamble for simha! Where are you looking for it? Says the great rabbi, kedusha hi simha. Ya kedusha simha. And lucky for us, we're born kadosh. So we already have it. As long as we protect it, our kedusha will constantly be raised for so much good that we do. I'll read it again now. I'm sorry. Listen, you delayed me. What should I do?
Okay, I'm finished. I'm finishing. Thank you.
There was a meeting 101 years ago. Unbelievable. Tach resh pe dan. There was a meeting 101 years ago. That's 1924 in Europe. Things in Europe at the time were not going well for the Jewish people. It was the beginning of what we call the Holocaust. In this gathering, they asked the Hafet Hayim to say a few words of what we need to do. Other people spoke, we need to do this, we need to do that. Says the Hafet Hayim, and if you want to look at it, it's in a book called Meir Aine Yisrael Hele Gima. Look it up. He says like this, we are gathered all here today, says the Hafez Haim, this giant of a man. He said, we're gathered here today to find advice and strength on behalf of our people from all the terrible tzarot that we are facing. Aleinu lada'at b'merosh. He says, you should know first and foremost what Hashem promised us, that He will be with us so long as we don't have Ervat Davar. Listen to these words. Ukhen, he says. Listen, very strong words. You'll forgive me, I'm not a Habit Hayam. I'm quoting his words. Listen to these words. Ukhen. Ma hato'elet bekol ha'asifot vehamo'atzot lehatzlahat amenu. He says, what is the purpose of all these gatherings that we have getting together for the success of our people? Im yir'e halila ervat davar b'machanenu b'pritzut hatniut. He says, what's the point? We were sitting here discussing, what should we do? Should we say more Tehillim? Should we do more mitzvot? Should we do more Torah? Should we talk? Well, he says, matzvah, what are we doing here? Hashem is not with us. What are we doing here? He's saying Tehillim, he's not there. You're learning Torah, he's not there. Ma toilet. What's the purpose of that? He said, we got to fix this area. We got to bring Hashem back into the Am Yisrael. You got to bring Hashem back into your home. You got to bring Him back into your life. And all of us have to work on it. Every single one. There isn't a human today, I don't believe, unless they're holed up somewhere in a bunker. And even then you have to worry. That doesn't have to work in this area. We all have what to do. We all have something to throw out of the closet. And Be'ezrat Hashem, this Tisha B'Av will not just be a day where we sat on the floor, but it's a day that we took ourselves and our families and we told them, Yevarecha Hashem ve'yishmerecha. Till now we've been saying, may Hashem bless you and protect you. But now we're going to say, no, Yevarecha, Hashem is going to bless you, and He is going to watch over you, because Kedusha became the theme of my life and my home. And Be'ezrat Hashem, every single one of us will be elevated through the Kedusha of each individual and all of us together. Amen, the Amen.